no video. Apologize to everybody today. Our video crew, everybody's down at Memorial Stadium videotaping the more important things, and not me and you in sweatpants and sweatshirts with Bedhead here. Bo Root is here. Spring game in the books. We came down, we sat down, we chatted for a little bit. We have not really divulged any thoughts that we took away from that spring game. The only thing you said is probably the big takeaway of, like, it was one of those spring games that there weren't a ton of big, major things that you walk away from, like, hey, how about this guy or that guy, right?
Yeah, I don't know that I learned anything big.
Yeah.
I learned a lot of little things that I'm starting to see a shape of something, but I didn't learn that much. Like, I didn't learn a ton. I learned little bits.
Right. So I wrote down, I think I ended up getting to 11 or 12 just kind of topics or whatever, and we'll just kind of hammer through them and get out of here because we're taping this. Literally, the spring game got over about an hour ago or whatever here. The first thing I wrote down, and we don't have to spend a bunch of time on this because we've started both pod, like our last two pods with this. Can I just say once again, thank you, Matt Rhule. I appreciated the format. Thank you.
Thank you, Matt Rhule.
I just want to say that. That was my first thing I wrote down. Just ones versus ones, live, tackling the quarterback. At least it resembled football. Thank you.
What did it prove, though? You can do that.
Yes.
That's football. You can play football. Your quarterbacks can be live.
Right.
They don't have to get hurt. You know, like, your team got better today because they actually played football. I promise you that. They got better today.
Right.
And I also think Matt Rhule was dialed in. Like, everything was moving fast. It seemed dialed in. And I really appreciate it. Immediately after the game was over, he goes, everybody get to the sidelines and go say hi to the fans. I thought it was really, like, dialed in.
I know. He doesn't miss around with stuff like that. And it would have been really easy, especially in your very first. Think about, like, the undertaking of being the head coach at the University of Nebraska. All the pressure, all the fishbowl, all the eyes, all the work up to everybody's first unveiling of your football team. It'd have been real easy to go the route of, let's give them nothing so they can't critique us.
Yeah.
I think it shows a little bit of confidence for Rhule also, and just being like, you know what, we might fumble 8 times today, but whatever, we need to do that.
We need to play the game. We need to get comfortable with our offense.
Right.
As much as we don't want to show our offense, we've got to do some things. I don't know if they showed a ton, but they, you know, we played the game. That's what matters.
Yes. And so, that was the first thing I wrote down. The second thing I wrote down, too, is because, unfortunately, if you had to have your one major takeaway, it would be fumbles. It was, at least on the stat sheet, the final number was 8. 8 fumbles, lost 6. Some of that, see, here's the thing, though, I will say is, you know, this is like classic, like, oh, you guys are Husker homers. Like, you know what? You tag off, you maybe don't realize you, like, have a fumbling problem or just whatever, right? Like,
I know you don't. You don't know you have a fumbling problem.
So I think, like, in some ways, this is why you go live, to see who can hang on to the ball and how good a ball hawking guys you have on defense, like all those kinds of things. But nevertheless, I mean, 8 fumbles,
good. So I mean, the fumbles show you, one, why it's important to be in front of a big audience, so that, like, you know, you're under the lights, you got to play in front of people and perform. And it looked to me like it's very obvious that most of these quarterbacks and centers have never had a quarterback under center.
Unbelievable. That was my prevailing thought. And I thought you were, I don't know why I'm homie the clown. I thought you were going to homie the clown me. Like, I'm not so sure that isn't as big of an issue as anything else. You have a generation of quarterbacks and centers that are not used to getting under center.
No.
And then there's also, then it was compounded by, you are shuffling back and forth of shotgun and under center, and you were doing a lot of rotating of quarterbacks and linemen. And so I'm telling you, I know this sounds weird. As a former quarterback, every butt ain't the same.
No.
Getting under center, everybody snaps a little bit different.
Yeah.
And I'm sure from a center standpoint, everybody's hand placement and everything is just a little bit different.
And especially if these centers are used to snapping shotgun, and then now these guys are trying. Like, it just looked like we brought in a new center, and like we had 3 or 4 fumbles and in a short span. But it's also like, Nick, I played with you for many, many, many years, and you took snaps from under center. You never hit the fullback and fumbled.
Oh.
You never did it once. And we're doing things like that that makes me think that, like, they're just not used to, like, one, a fullback being there.
Right.
And, like, you got to navigate around a fullback. The fullback might take a shallow angle, so, like, you're always – you have a feel for that. They don't have the feel for it right now.
Yes. No, I mean, that – because who was that – was it Chubba or was it Harburg or was it Torres that hit the fullback?
I think it may have been.
I can't remember. I'm trying to remember.
I think it was Torres.
But yeah, that is. Well, you know what? You know what? A lot of it is. I mean, you got to be able to get out of there. You got to be able. And you got to be able to. I always thought on like ISOs, especially if people are coming, you got to be able to, especially on counter sweeps when you have, like, that's what we ran in Southeast, when you got people pulling.
Guards
are coming, man.
The ball, like, you got to protect it from them and the fullback.
Yes, you're going to have a lot of bodies around you. And the most important thing is for you to get it and get the fuck out. Like, you got to get it and get back.
That's where footwork becomes insanely more important when you come from under center because, like, you know, I think in the shotgun, you can kind of get lazy feet because you just catch it, kind of pat around there.
Right.
But when you're, you know, when you've got like a counteraction or, you know, like there's a lot more.
There's a stretch footwork, to get out.
Ball, you know? And it's ball work too, right? I mean, I guess now they do ball work in a zone read, but like ball work, you know, the old Peyton Manning, like you really show it, you really hold. Like there's an art to that.
Yes.
The great ones. They make it look the same every time. You know, they like and they have their steps and it's so that's a whole nother kind of quarterbacking that I just don't think they're getting. I don't know they've had like any reps at. I mean, I think like I see most of these guys' high school films, they're in shotgun the whole game.
Yes.
Like and every snap.
And I'm telling you, there's also urgency in getting the snap, getting back to be able to get your head around and get to reading the defense. Like when you're in a shotgun, you know, all you got, you don't even have to have a drop and you're already at a 5-step drop. You know what I mean? Like,
yep.
If you got to get back there, you got to fucking move, you know?
You got to move.
You got to move.
You got to set.
You got to
be
under control when you turn and see. And I'm glad that I wasn't, like, to me, it looked like a lot of guys that were still, had only been used to getting under center for a couple of weeks.
Yeah. It's like, it looked like quarterback the first week of quarterback camp more than it looked like.
Right.
Hey, these are third, fourth year guys. This was quarterback camp like week one. It looked like because they didn't look comfortable under the center quite yet.
Yeah, because so not only was it hitting the fullback on the ISO, there was one on a fullback trying to hand it to it as a fullback dive. They fumbled it. There was obviously fumbled snaps. It just so that obviously was bad. There had to have been. 7 or 8 dropped passes too.
I you know, not to point out specific people, but like the new tight end from Georgia, like he dropped a couple of easy ones, and
89 Eric Albert.
Yeah, like those are the things that start standing out to me where I start going like, okay, who's earning our trust, who's not,
right?
And you know, who's ready to who's ready for the moment, and I noticed like. If you have multiple drops, open drops, like anymore, you just don't see that often.
No, so. And again, you don't want to, like, everything should be prefaced with, like, it's a spring game, you don't overreact, but you just take it, you chew on it, take it for what it is,
it's
right?
It's my first
like,
time seeing anything.
And
guys,
Eric Albert, I don't, listen, like, there's no doubt, and I think even Searles on the call said it, like, he looks the part. He's a big looking dude, he moves, but, like, we've all played with that guy in basketball. Like he, you know, that makes a great move, can't ever finish it. Like he's a big dude. He got open, but he couldn't catch the ball today.
So the overreaction is that he's, you know, doesn't got great hands. We don't know that. Maybe he can catch the ball, but like that's part of like what the spring game is it's your first impression of certain people. It's your first time seeing certain people. So like you get positive and you get sort of like, maybe there's more to work with some guys. Right. So, but yeah, that's kind of, I think what I like the most about it is like, I kind of get my initial impression.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean it's set in stone.
No.
It means now he has to catch a few balls and look the part to me before I kind of go, hey, you're out of my sort of like, I kind of am starting to peg you, you know?
Right.
And it's not good to totally, it's not set in stone. It's like, this is just like setting
Right.
Sort of like a wet cement.
Things can be nice, but things can be what they are. We can simultaneously go, this is a spring game. It doesn't, who you are today, it doesn't mean it's who you are for forever. No. But at the same time, the game happened and we can assess the game.
Yeah. Tony Gonzalez's first year, I watched this, you know, football life on NFL Network. And, you know, his whole first season, he had the drops. Like, he couldn't catch a thing his whole first season with the Chiefs. It was amazing. Yeah. You don't think about it.
No.
He, like, said he was so lacking confidence, he couldn't catch. And then the next year, he just absolutely, like, honed in, found some, like, maybe just, you know, I think he drilled it.
Right. But
like,
and he got confident. He got confident. Yeah.
And he became arguably the best tight end to ever play the game. Right. So, like, that is where when you make an initial assumption, you got to keep in mind that doesn't necessarily determine anything. It just means that, like, this is kind of where somebody's starting from, and it's up to them then to, like, take it to the next level.
Right. So when I look at the fumbles, I think a part of it is the live format, and thank Matt Rhule for that. Part of it also is maybe some guys, like, I mean, this had to have been, I'm trying to think, do you think this was the coldest weather? Now, Sims actually was solid, and we'll talk about him, but, like, a lot of these guys, some of these dudes haven't played in really windy, cold conditions, you know? But I do think the quarterbacks need to just get sharper under center.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the big and then just the drops, like, you know, it's not complicated there. You just got to catch the ball. So those are the first two things I wrote down. Anything more at the fumbles?
No.
Quarterbacks. Let's start with Sims. I walked away being like, it's pretty good.
Solid, nothing like jumped out like amazing. Like he had a couple nice little like short runs, threw the ball nice, seemed like pretty under control. I don't think he had any turnovers.
I don't think so. I thought he was the one dude. I have the stats here. Let's see I thought he was the one guy that played the cleanest game from the quarterback perspective. He 9 of 13, 139 yards, and I don't think he fumbled.
Yeah, so I actually expect that from him because he's had real starts in a major, you know, a major conference game. So I'm happy to see that, though, because he's been under the microscope for, can you play clean, Jeff Sims? Like, can you play clean? Because that was sort of his one downside at Georgia Tech was the amount of turnovers, right? Like, he was throwing the ball away too much, so. I think that was a positive for him, just to sort of like baseline, look, you're kind of one of two that have a good chance of starting, and that's a step in the right direction for him.
I tell you what, I just looking at him just today, the his throwing motion, how he moves, his size, it's going to be him and Casey one and two, and you can do a lot worse than having Jeff Sims as your second guy you're potentially going to throw out there.
Agreed.
I thought he threw a better ball than I was anticipating. I was anticipating a superb athlete that is playing quarterback who's, you know, you can tell, like, maybe isn't as polished of a thrower. Like, he's got a nice, compact throwing motion. He's got a quick release. He threw a strike to Borkature on the first drive that gained about 30-some yards. I walked away feeling pretty good about him. I'm not ready to sit there and like declare him the greatest thing of all time, but he was good.
He was solid. I think solid's a fine place to finish spring for Sims. You know, it's going to be a new system, new coaches, new teammates. So I was fine with that. I think that's a good place to be. I think he's got his hands full with Casey Thompson. I don't know what
guy.
It is. Above the neck right now, to me, Casey Thompson's the only quarterback I think I trust.
Yeah.
Right? All these other guys are fine. He's the only guy that's proven to me that I think he's tough, I think he plays to win, and I think he understands the game. Everybody else has not proven that to me.
Right.
And so right now, that's where, for me, even after seeing like a solid day by Sims, Casey's still my front runner.
Yeah, into the fall. And this is how you, like, because I think this matters. It's how you frame it. Is it a true competition or is it player X's job to lose? In my opinion, it is still Casey Thompson is QB1. In my opinion. Not saying that they're...
What do you think the coaches think? Like, if you're Satterfield and Rhule, do they have Casey in that position? Or do they have some sort of like, this is a true even playing field, or is Sims sort of like, this is kind of our guy?
I don't know. That's a great question. I honestly would, I would lean towards the last two options you threw out there. I don't think they're approaching it like this is Casey's job and everybody else is just, you got to go take it. He's got to lose it. I think my guess is there, it's a true competition and they're viewing it completely through that lens, especially when this is their handpicked dude, at least for now. Sims.
I think that's right.
It sounds like they do want to run a little bit. And Casey's not immobile.
He's fine. It's just not, he's not going to be like a Sims. Sims is a bigger guy.
Right. And even Heine's a bigger guy than Casey is. But I think Casey is mobile enough to hurt you. He's not going to Taylor Martinez you all over the place, but he's mobile enough to hurt you running the ball. I thought all the other quarterbacks had just meh days. I thought Harburg was just okay.
Harburg ran well enough, or not great, but he ran pretty good. He was just, accuracy-wise, it didn't seem like it was there today.
No. And
Torres was kind of like, you could tell he was young, but he's got the big arm. It just, it didn't look like, I mean, if a couple of his throws were actually okay that people dropped, but just never made the plays.
Like, right.
It's two parts of the puzzle, but you know, you're judged on can you make the play, and if sometimes the receiver catches it, you're at their mercy.
And I didn't know, you know, like Harburg had the one where I think the ref rule said afterwards that the ref would have said, like the one that they called a fumble and the scoop and score, they said if we'd have looked at that, we would have been overruled. But, you know, rule, thank God rule is like, I don't want people sitting through reviews in a spring game.
Yeah.
He was like, we're going to treat it like it's 1985 and the call in the field, we're just going with that, which I like. But Harburg, I don't know if, I think his pocket awareness needs some work. He even had this is why you do live real games. This is such a good moment from a quarterback. Like one of the biggest things, and I think you and I appreciate things like this amazingly well. Like would have been Brady in the AFC Championship game at Denver, where they were going against Von Miller and all those guys. Tom Brady had the most amazing game of not getting sacked.
Just throwing the ball so quickly.
Don't get sacked.
Yeah.
Okay? Don't get sacked.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying he was still throwing strikes, but you know what he didn't do? He didn't take 5 and 6 and 7 yard losses. He didn't get sacked.
Yeah.
I bring that up to like the only sequence I wrote down. It was like 1st and 10. They were inside the red zone, and Harburg took a sack that was a loss of 16 yards, and it fucking killed the drive because they end up missing a field goal.
It's points. It's a play that costs you points. That's the stuff that people don't realize about like quarterback play is like when and where and how you do or don't take sacks.
Yes.
Is points. That's points.
Right.
And these, like, it's, there's so much on the quarterbacks, but those are the plays that I think win or lose you games.
I agree. When we talk about, see, this is it. When we talk about how terrible Nebraska's been in one score games over the course of the last handful of years, and those types of things are like, you say them, but then when you get inside of them, like, to me, this is it. Like, it's that. That is at minimum 3 points.
You know, I said a flash. I had a bad flash.
Oh no!
I had a flash of the Noah Vedral fumble against Indiana.
Oh man!
Yeah, that's those.
But
are
those
the ones.
Are what we're talking about.
Those are the ones that lose you games and ruin your season.
And especially in the Big Ten and the Big Ten West for one more year, like points are hard to come by, man.
Yeah.
You got points. You have to walk away with three.
I mean, one score games, we've learned the importance of inches now. I think
right.
The last 5 years, it's the tediousness of our last 5 years. Me and you, especially, we've done doing this pod.
I mean,
the amount of one score games we've dissected and all the little plays and the, like, you know, like we talk about the Vedro play, like that was a missed block.
Mm-hmm.
We whiffed an assignment, whiffed the block, came in, you know, then we put the ball in the ground. It's like, it's unbelievable to think that's how we win or lose a game, but like that is the difference between winning and losing football sometimes.
Yes, yes. I mean, so it was inside the red zone, 1st and 10. Harbor takes a sack, loses 16 yards. It's now 2nd and 26. The next play, he gets his pass tipped at the line of scrimmage. Now it's 3rd and 26. He actually they ran a good play. If it was the one on the right pylon that almost was intercepted, but if he'd have put it on the pylon, might have been a touchdown.
Yeah.
But then Bleak Road came in, and it was a 46-yard field goal into the wind, and he missed it. But those are, like, we've seen so many one score losses. They're like, those are the plays, man.
I'm looking for. I'm looking for guys to not make the losing play.
Right.
As much as I want to see people make winning plays, don't make the losing play.
Yes. So I thought Harburg was just okay today. Chuba, okay.
He kind of looked exactly how he looked in the games he played in. It was like he would drop back. He's always kind of scrambling.
I was just gonna say, it's funny.
He scrambled more than anybody I've seen in Chuba two starts. Scrambled 15 or 20 times.
Like right now, if you're listening, just close your eyes. Picture Chuba Purdy playing. I bet you pictured him just like scrambling around the pocket.
What is that?
I don't know what it is. It's like he's like a 1980s movie that like you're late for class or something like that, and you're like, gotta go, and you're running through your house, and I'm late. You grab like a banana and you're running out the door. That's Chuba. Chuba's got 2 minutes to get to class.
I don't know, is the pocket seeming? It never looks like a great pocket when he's there, but he is scrambling more than normal. So I don't. We got to maybe.
I don't know. It's just like, how are you constantly scrambling, all the time?
I don't know.
It's just bizarre. But Chuba, you're right. Chuba looked like he looked last year.
Nothing new.
And then I Torres, I wanted to see him like just rip one deep at some point. Just I want to see
deep
what
post.
I just wanted to see him like for no reason. Even as he was going to throw a ball away, just throw it as far as you can, just to show people what you got. I tell you what, between Sims, Harburg, Chuba, Torres, Logan Smothers, and Casey Thompson, you're not keeping six scholarship quarterbacks. Who's leaving? Because Chuba's already transferred once.
Yeah,
you know, I don't know how that works now. I know the NCAA has talked about trying to crack down on the second transfer. I mean, I would think a guy like Torres is probably, I don't know where Logan Smothers is at, but
Smothers might, I mean, here's the thing with Smothers is he hasn't got a chance to play, and it's
right.
Like he might become a numbers casualty.
Yes.
That's a bad thing because he's putting his time. You almost think he's maybe earned the right to finish out his career here.
They got to get to 85 scholarships.
That's part of this new NIL situation, this portal situation is like, it's more of a numbers crunch than we've ever seen where guys, it's the
right.
Fluctuations are bigger and you have to potentially ask certain people to either leave or go off scholarship or something. You
right.
know, like that's right. tough to do. It's really tough when, I mean, like our quarterback room, I don't think it's like, oh, these guys are all like they're doing the right things. They're like pretty good. All of them are pretty good. They're like, but they're like, they're not, there's not enough separation. Well, maybe.
And what's amazing is when you list them all out, Casey Thompson was the starter last year. Jeff Sims played at Georgia Tech and is QB number one during the spring. Heinrich Harburg was QB number two during the spring and was battling Sims.
Yeah.
You have Chuba who has started games. You
His
have
brothers
Logan
a pro.
Smothers
yeah.
who has started games. You then have Richard Torres who's young and got a live arm.
So there's not
a great candidate to
it
like.
It's not an obvious like, well, that guy just was a bust and so he's the one that's out. It's like they're all kind of like, have their thing that they're like, okay, you've proven this a little bit, or you've got this talent, you know? And so it's like, and like Harburg's an interesting one because you could use him somewhere else.
Yes.
He's a big athlete. So, I don't know.
You know what I mean? There's not an obvious, like, well, clearly that guy's got to go. It's like, I don't know about that.
Yeah. That's going to be a.
Like, is Logan, would you rather have Logan Smothers or Richard Torres? Like, I don't know. It depends on what you're looking
at. We know Smothers can at least go in a game.
He had the Iowa game won until a blocked punt, and then everybody was like,
"Yeah, I mean,
needed Pampers.
You got to get like you got to
Pampers.
Give
get your Pampers. Hey, hot dog,
we're out of runs out. We're out of Valentino's. Bring in the Pampers team.
Huggies pull-ups. Get your Huggies pull-ups. Like, I'll take two. We just blocked. Our butt just got blocked.
I would like one. I'm about to wreck myself. I've seen every game since 1963.
Oh, I know a game when I need a Huggies when I was. No, but
I'm getting tired. Call the Huggies, man.
Oh, God. So I don't know. It'll be weird.
The fans just like we have like one play where it's like it's just one of those momentum turning plays, and the fans always go Huggies. I'll take one.
Okay, that's when they're like, all right, send out the Huggies out there. There's just a guy sitting in the back. He's got his bag full of Huggies.
He straps on each shoulder. He's got his bag of Huggies.
Yeah, Greg Sharp's like, all right, fourth down, a chick's gonna be a punting situation. snap back. Oh, it's blocked. It's blocked. And I was recovering it, and they got it inside the five. They got it inside the five.
I'm looking down low. There the Huggies guys are coming out. Oh,
Matt
no.
Davison, I tell you, they are walking out there with the Huggies. They're handing it out to the North Stadium. This is not good.
It doesn't mean what I think it means, does it? Oh, boy.
Greg, I've seen this too many times. When the guys start passing out the Huggies, not good. But that's pretty much what... I don't know how this went from a quarterback discussion to handing out. Oh, Smothers. It was Smothers had the Iowa game won until there was a punt block.
Then they brought out the Huggies. and the adult, the Depends for the
Depends,
grand, for the grant.
Like,
the
yeah, yeah, it's like Huggies and Depends.
You'd I'll
like,
take some Depends.
Need some Depends. That block punt brought to you by Huggies, Pampers, and Depends. We'll take a break. You're listening to Big Red Football here on it. Okay, anything else with the quarterbacks?
I think that's good. I think we got it.
I think we covered it all. Running backs. It's weird.
Confidence builders, confidence losers, because I think we know who lost some confidence today. Who Did, lost confidence today?
A.J. Allen.
A.J. Allen.
He went from, like, I don't know. I mean, when he I'm trying to think of a 90s sitcom reference here of someone that, like, Laura Winslow to, you know, with Steve loving her to live when.
You don't got it, dude.
I don't got it. Myra? Myra, Steve's. Steve finally had a girl. Myra was way hotter than Laura.
Yeah.
I don't know what Steve was tripping. But yeah, A.J. Allen did not have a good day. And after we had talked about, there was not a lot of talk with him throughout the spring. Gabe Irvin had risen above both Grant and Allen. Weird running back situation. I would say overall, it's a running back room that has a depth, great depth, but I don't know if they have a great player.
I think Irvin and Grant right now are 1A, 1B probably.
I agree.
And I don't really know the order. I think Grant is I think Irvin is solid, but like Grant's going to play. Like you're not keeping Grant off the field, but like Irvin to me looked like he looks like he's ready to go, I think. I don't know he's great. I think he's
good.
I think he's a good player. I think Grant's got, you know, more big play upside. But I think if Irvin can add the like dependability guy to go with to count, you know, the sort of like be the counterpunch to Grant, I think that's sort of what we got to figure out because Grant's going to play.
Yes. But it's let me make it clear. I didn't do it like you can do far worse than having a running back room of Gabe Irvin, Anthony Grant, A.J. Allen, and Ramir Johnson. Like that's four guys that have played that I feel comfortable. Like you tell me right now, Nebraska's going to go hand the ball to Gabe Irvin 15 times at Minnesota. Like, I mean, I think he'll do fine.
Yeah, I mean, I think Irvin feels more comfortable in, like, I remember he played in the I formation.
Yeah.
In Buford, Georgia. So, like, I think he...
he's probably comfortable with that
like
style.
He scored in that little, like...
Yeah.
It was a power lead, and, you know, he bounces it, breaks it, bounces off a tackle, gets in the end zone, and I was like, oh, that looked comfortable to him.
Yes.
I think he's going to be more comfortable in the power formation sets where Grant, I think, you know, I don't know... Grant looked fine in the normal shotgun.
And I wonder with A.J. Allen if he's more of a...
He's not an I formation.
No. And so it'll be interesting to see how that shakes out.
But that's the truth of, like, if we're going to bring in a fullback, not every running back feels good in that. Like, that's not what guys like. Usually the smaller guys, that doesn't lend to them because you kind of have to... You got to hit the hole.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's a different... It is.
And you're just
going to
be running
thing.
Into a mass of humanity.
Yeah, like, but the bigger guys do well with that because, you know, then they're coming through the hole with a lot of force.
Right.
And a lot of people, like, and then you're just getting those 3-4 yards, just like, that's like old school football, right?
Right.
It's a little less, you know, like, I don't know, pace and space or whatever.
Yeah,
you know?
No,
it's
I know
like,
what you,
boom, boom, boom,
yeah,
boom,
right,
you know,
right.
Like, you're getting people on edges, you're getting one-on-ones where you're just, you know, you can use your shiftiness more. But I think this new offense right now is leaning towards playing to Gabe Irvin's strengths. I think AJ Allen's.
He's the biggest. Is Gabe the biggest back?
He's the biggest. He's like 6'1". He's like a real 6'1", like long limbs, 215 pounds. That's pretty big for a running back. That really is. I mean, most running backs are in that, you know, 190 to 205 range. And like an AJ Allen, is he 190 pounds? Ramirez, 190.
Right.
Grant's maybe 200. And Gabe's 215, 220. He's probably 220.
Right.
Like, it's a big difference for running back.
But overall, I didn't think any of them had great days. I also don't think there was a lot of room to run. I didn't see a lot of big play opportunities that we'll get to later on here. But overall, would we say, are we walking out of the spring thinking Gabe Irvin's your RB number one?
Not yet, because he's got a little juice. He's got a little bit of juice, I think. Yeah, he's just got to find his feel, I think, for the offense and the new coaches and all that.
So. If you're handing 20 carries out to somebody at Minnesota, do you feel more comfortable handing those just heading in? Like mentally right now, you're handing out carries like they're Lloyd Christmas.
I can't
say I'm not comfortable
with Grant, because I'm comfortable with Grant.
That's what I'm saying. I would almost choose Grant right now.
I think it'd be hard to choose Irvin over Grant.
Just because Grant's done it.
Yeah, unless Irvin has done... does something in this fall where he separates himself in practice, where it's like, we know.
Right.
Because right now, if you saw those two today, I think they're equal. It looked equal. Like,
I agree with
you. Irvin had a nice little touchdown, but Grant had some pretty good runs. But Grant has proven to me he can play.
I agree.
So Grant, to me, is my guy until Irvin proves him wrong.
Is there a chance AJ Allen is in the portal?
He'd be a candidate. I hope not. I hope not either.
I'm just saying, like, they're at 100-plus players. They got to get to 85, and I'd imagine, the portal's going to open up, and they might go get some other people in the portal still.
Yeah, but A.J. Allen's one that they probably want to sell to stay, because, Nick, what if Grant and Gabe get hurt day one of camp, which that stuff happens.
Right.
Like, that happens. Like, you need three running backs.
And you know Michael Myers isn't going anywhere.
Michael Myers is going to be straight from Jersey.
Michael Myers ain't going anywhere. I didn't enjoy. He's number 14. Jeff Sims is 14. There are a couple of moments where I was like, I was a little confused.
Yeah,
I didn't love. They need to hash that out right now. But yeah, it was overall just not a great day from the running backs. It was an okay day, which leads me into the other thing with it. Just the run game in general between the two teams, at least by my quick math before we got started, 71 carries, 192 yards, 2.7 yards per carry. Just wasn't a lot of
I guess that's what that's interesting to me that it was that. That's like not a great
stat. Oh, that's
stat.
Not good.
Yeah.
And then I guess I'll jump back down to the thing. One of the things I wrote down was there were just not a lot of explosive plays. The longest run from scrimmage was Harburg's first run, 23 yards. The longest run from a running back was 11 yards by Anthony Grant.
You know, it's weird now that you're saying this. Like, if you would have asked me my initial hunch, I was like, did the defense do great? I've been like, nah. Did the offensive line do pretty good? I said, yeah, they did pretty good. And now that you're saying that, I'm going, did I see that wrong almost?
Well, to me, it was, I think naturally, this is me. Your eyes go to the offense when you're watching these games. It just does. And so anytime something wouldn't happen well, I was more apt to give blame to the offense instead of credit to the defense.
Yeah.
I walked away. Bear in mind, this was without Ty Robinson, without Luke Reimer, without Nick Henrich. I walked away kind of feeling like, tell you what, you had 71 rushes at you and you only gave up 2.7 yards per carry. Pretty good.
That, like, the stats, now that you say it, sound so much better than I think what I came away feeling. Like, I didn't feel like we had a dominant performance on defense, but you're right. We didn't give up inexplosive play.
No.
Not one.
No.
On either side of the ball, right?
There was, I mean, because the
one
longest
throw for 20 or 30 yards,
the
one
longest
run.
Catch was Borkature's first one from Jeff Sims down the right in the middle of the field for 38 yards, and Billy Kemp had a 24-yarder. So
let's think about that, because that tells me in a spring game, I mean, I guess it usually favors the defense a little bit more, but like, Are we lacking weapons on offense?
That's what I was maybe like, you know, they would have been like, what are you getting at here? The Nick Bob Podcast is brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors, and I want to talk to you guys about energy efficiency. And if you go onto Pella's website right now, you look at it, and how about this? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different types of windows or doors. By Pella, won the Energy Star 2020 Most Energy Efficient Award. That's big time stuff right there. And they achieved that in a couple of waves. They got insulated glass, which slows the heat transfer, keeping your home at a more comfortable temperature. They got types of low E glass, which is a glass coating that has been optimized for your climate. They got triple pane glass, which you can upgrade to for increased insulating airspace. And within all of that, one of the keys is proper installation, which is key for window and doors to perform at their best. And you know the Pella experts are excellent at that. Bottom line, energy efficiency matters in making your home more comfortable, and Pella windows and doors are at the top of the line when it comes to energy efficiency. Check them out online, PellaOmaha.com. That's PellaOmaha.com. I wonder, is, again, you don't know, like, was it the defense was just pretty good in the right place, and they didn't allow a lot of leaky yardage or whatever? Or does Nebraska truthfully got weapons to really hurt you? I don't know.
Because, the Kemp guy from Virginia looked decent.
I like
decent,
him.
Looked nice.
I thought he looked good.
Our boy Marcus Washington.
Who I laughed out loud.
Did you see it?
I did.
Did you see it?
I did.
Okay, you saw it.
Usually some people are like, you know, laughing. You text someone like, man, LOL, and you're not LOLing. I was laughing
you
out loud.
You saw it, yes.
That our guy, Marcus Washington, first catch, got up, and it was almost like he had been listening to us. Just gave the first down. He did it two
times.
Did you see
his incomplete pass? Fourth and short, threw it to him.
Yeah,
he dropped it, and he went like this after he dropped it.
I didn't catch the drop.
Oh, yeah.
Or I knew it was him that dropped it. I didn't know he stood up and...
He dropped it. They called incomplete, and he signaled first down after a drop.
Maybe he's got like a... He doesn't know how to that's the way he ends each play.
I think it is like a habit. It's,
you know, he's like Mary Catherine Gallagher, where he puts his hands underneath his armpits and then at the end of every play, just signals first down regardless of the outcome of it. But back to the point,
like he's taking a test in math class and he's like, last problem.
Like literally anything to end, like
first down.
He's eating a steak. It's the last bite. He's like, that was good.
First down.
He kisses a girl, first down. Like,
you know, girls, sometimes they lift up their back foot. Like, smooch, back foot lifted. He's just smooch.
First down. Everything he does, anything that happens, he brushes his teeth, he spits out the first down. That's
he
Marcus
does
Washington.
All day long.
That's all it is. But... yeah, I didn't know what, because that was one of my main takeaways, was like, I'm not seeing a lot of explosive plays here. Now, there were so many fumbles and short fields and whatever. I don't know. But longest run was Harburg's. Longest run by a running back was Grant, 11 yards.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
I don't want to, again, you
spring games usually favor the defense, but.
Right.
That's a little concerning. I know Fedoni, we didn't really get to see him with any targets.
I like Fedoni, though.
I'm still giving him the benefit of the doubt that he's got skills. But, we'll see. I have a little concern at that receiver position.
I do, too.
I think we're going to need to potentially
who?
Go find somebody else that, you know, I don't know who.
But the problem is, like, who's out there?
It's got to be a portal transfer, but I don't know who you're going to get, right? Like, I don't know. I don't know.
Either. I don't know what you...
You got to hope for, like, the number four guy at a really good, you know, like, you know, Bama,
right.
Ohio State.
Right, some
like,
guys
the number four guy's like, I want to go get paid. Maybe we got to go pay somebody. I mean, that's the scenario.
Or I'm a four guy. I want to go get paid and be a number one or a number two.
Yeah, that's the only scenario we get somebody good. Because if somebody is just a guy leaving, I mean, they're not good enough to come make a difference.
Right. So I wasn't sure with the lack of explosive plays, the way the stats spit out at the end with only 2.7 yards per carry and all that stuff, and really, I mean, not a lot of. I mean, it was 21 points. Not a lot of points. I didn't know, okay, is this because of Nebraska's lacking some explosive weapons? Is this because actually the defense had a better day than we want to give them credit for? I don't know. I don't know how to sort all that out yet.
Defense wasn't great, but they got people down. They kept it in front of them.
Right. Right. I wanted to ask, that was the next thing I wrote down was the defense. Like, I just wanted to get your, like, one of the things that I liked was it just seemed like there was a lot of, they're aggressive.
There's movement.
There's movement.
That's the difference that you're probably not even used to.
It's like
there's
like,
more movement. It's almost uncomfortable. Like, and that's the point, I think.
Right. So I liked that. I think one of the things we talked about in our spring game preview was like, what's this 3-3-5 going to look like? It looked like just a lot. There's a lot of movement, a lot of things going on in the box.
Yeah.
And I like that. You know, MJ Sherman, big boy from, I think he's from Georgia, blew up. I think he blew up Grant on a big play.
Which is good because we talked the last pod about confidence. That was one of our main themes. And like, I think a guy like that actually has potential and is showing it there. But I think plays like that give guys like that confidence that they can be playmakers. So that was a good thing, a dude making a play, building confidence.
Totally agree. And other than that, you know what was hard? I don't know about you. I had a hard time, like, I'm still learning this team. So there were so many times guys would make a play and I'd be like, I'd have to Google. I had to get the roster in front of me to know who made that play or who missed that tackle or who dropped that pass. Like,
here's what I found interesting. I thought, you know, like, okay, let's say this is the red team was the first string defense, roughly.
Mm-hmm.
And some of those new guys are on the line. It's like it's Hutmasher, Judy, and
AJ Rollins is a new dude.
AJ Rollins. Yeah. So it was like, you know, those guys were kind of the starters. And then you had the Sherman. But like, and I thought those guys did fine. What was weird is the guys I was kind of like most intrigued about was there was three freshmen that were playing real snaps that I was like, God, these guys are like the Linehart kid.
Yep.
91, Noonan, Maverick Noonan, 75, and Princewell.
Yeah.
Number 55.
Yep.
Those guys are high school seniors playing out there doing pretty well.
Right.
So I don't think those guys are going to play this year. I really don't think. I mean, maybe here and there spot plays. They're probably not going to be like big time like starters to start their careers off.
Right.
Maybe they can contribute. But like the fact that they're that good that they can kind of play.
It's impressive.
They're high school seniors. I was actually very impressed by that. Just they all seemed like they could handle being out there, and they looked physically pretty good. I was like, God, you guys are, you know, you don't look that much different than the guys that are 3 years older.
Right. Usually when a freshman's out there, you can, their build is like, I can tell that guy's a freshman or that guy's just not quite there.
91,
you know?
91 was playing over the guards and tackles sometimes. Like, it was like, you know, that's a big boy position. He's like a DN. I was like, God, that's pretty good.
Well, even the guy that picked off the last pass, Gage Stanger, the local
Stanger
kid.
Stanger
looked
nice.
He played pretty good today.
Yeah.
You know? And, I mean, he's a redshirt freshman, but still, you know, he gets the pick. He got a couple of tackles.
Yeah.
He played okay. Now, again, it's hard, but it's like, you're arguably your two best players. For sure, I think Reimer, would you agree that Reimer is the best?
Yeah.
Like, and then I'd put Henrich right there behind him. Like, so your most proven D lineman in Ty Robinson.
Yep.
Then your two starting linebackers aren't out there. And so it lent itself. We
looked smaller than normal, too. Like, we've had a couple years we had Stilley and Snacks and Ty Robinson and Casey Rogers and Garrett Nelson, right? So your line is like, okay, we're pretty big.
Right.
You know, Henrich Reimer, like, we were a pretty big team defensively for a handful of years. And this is the first time I was like, we're a smaller team now. Like, we have guys that are sort of more guys in that sort of 240 to 275 range all along the lines, right? So there's more of those guys versus like, hey, we got three guys that are like 260 to 290, 315.
Right.
You know, they're a little bit smaller, but there's more movement and speed happening. So it's the trade-off of the 3-3-5.
Yeah, you're getting more
size for speed.
For sure.
and movement for, yeah, like
for versatility,
strength,
for
yeah.
all the different stuff that you're doing. Overall, I mean, I thought the defense actually, like, I walked away like, I was anticipating the offense to kind of rule the day for some reason. I don't know why I thought that. I thought with Henrich and Reimer out and yeah. Robinson out, and then having at least some experience at quarterback and at running back, like, I thought the offense would find a way to have a good day. Some of it could have been the conditions too. It was pretty windy out there. It was a little chilly out there. But I thought the defense, I walked away feeling okay about
it. I felt okay. I think your stat, like when you were telling me the stats, made me feel like, okay, that's probably a better.
Yeah.
They did better than I gave them probably credit for. But it's almost a little bit with the offense where I think it just felt like.
It was sloppy.
Yeah, nobody was really, like, great. There was nobody great on either side of the ball.
No, I wouldn't say, it's hard to say.
Nobody was great or even really good. Everybody was either good or just okay.
And even nobody even made an individual spectacular play.
Yeah. That's a little concerning, too. Like, nobody's got the splash.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, if you had to say the most splashy play of the day was... I don't know. I don't know if I can. I'd
felt
be forcing
like,
it.
It felt like sort of just like.
Felt very.
It was vanilla.
Meat and potatoes.
Yeah, like.
Game.
Nobody's doing anything beyond what kind of is the average.
Right.
Or like, here's the 5 yard out and they tackled him, you know?
Yes.
And then he ran the ISO and they got 6, but then they got 10. You know, it's like nobody right. made the next guy miss and take it. You know, like nobody, you know. Made a great pass breakup or, you know, sacked the quarterback 3 times. Like you couldn't block that guy. Right. There was none of that.
And that, so if I did, if like, as we wrap this up, I've got a bunch of other things I want to get to, not a bunch, but a couple of things, but like, that was my, I never felt like there wasn't a lot of splashing and jumping off the TV screen to me.
Yeah.
And again, anybody that's like, it's one snapshot of a game. We don't, I mean, everybody,
yeah, we take it with a grain of salt, but this is, you know, this is part of the fun of we like to break it down
and
go through it all.
But at the same time, you and I talk about this all the time, where you can poo poo what we're talking about if you want, but there is like a reality of the good guys usually splash pretty fast.
It doesn't take that long before you start seeing who can play. Like, it shouldn't be totally disguised in a game. Like, you give them enough plays, it should become obvious
yes.
over time.
Right.
So first spring game under rule, it's going to be is what it is. But, yeah, I think we got a ways to go before we're going to be a team to be reckoned with. We didn't look like a top 15, top 25 team there.
It's funny. You're probably doing it too. You're watching the game and they flash the schedule up there. And you kind of go, do I see 6 wins there? It is going to be hard. Based on what I saw today, I'm like, they're going to have to work to get to 6.
Minnesota, Colorado after
the
today gates. Feels like it's going to be harder than I would have said even last year.
Yes.
So I don't know. I think Minnesota, Colorado, we got a ways to go. I think we got to find a portal player or two that can help us. And, you know, getting Prochazka back, Ty Robinson, Reimer, Henrich are going to be crucial.
Right.
And then
Casey
Thompson and everybody else back healthy. Keep your fingers crossed. And I think we're a better team for sure.
Right.
But I just still don't know, like, are we a team that's going to beat Colorado, Minnesota, run our first 4 games and then get to Michigan?
And hopefully they can do, it's clear at least today that they do want to line up in the I formation and run ISOs and run between the tackles and run the quarterback. Like, I like all of that.
Yeah.
Now, can you go do it? I don't know.
We can't go be Iowa. We can't go be Iowa and have no offense and like, because our defense is not going to be there yet. But we got to be able to produce.
You got to be able to produce some explosive plays.
Yeah.
Here or there. Overall, I do want to just read it. I thought Billy Kemp looked pretty good.
He was quick.
Looked quick, solid, sure with the ball. Like
good route,
like,
you could tell the route running is where he's going to be good.
He just looked like you're like he knows what he's doing. That's a guy that knows what he's doing.
Every third down, just understand the ball's probably going near that guy. Read one is usually going to be him,
right? For sure, for sure. overall, like, I mean, if you do the whole, didn't at the end of primetime, TJ and Berman would hand out game balls?
Yeah.
I mean, if you had to hand out a game ball, would you hand it to Jeff Sims? Would you hand it, like...
Frank Solich.
Frank Solich. Yes. Okay, so let's... Well, real quick, before we get to Frank Solich, did you like the XFL kickoff? What'd you think of the XFL kickoff? You're a football purist at heart, so you hate anything.
It would have made... I would have loved to have been able to do the XFL kickoff. Yeah. I mean, I love football. I think I was naturally not very good at kickoff coverage.
You're a natural football player. Like, you're one of those guys, like, but maybe,
I wasn't good past, like, 40 yards. So, like, 60 yards to 80 yards of running and trying. Like, it's not really what I was as good at. I would have loved the XFL kickoff.
Dude, I'm just trying to think of, like, it does feel like, you know, the statistics bear it out that the most injuries occur in the kickoff as there's continuing to be a crusade to try to make the game safer. You're never going to make it completely safe, but safer. I don't see how you ever get rid of the kickoff. I just don't see how you do it. Onside kicks are vital for the chance to steal a game, whatever. But I just, Did the XFL kickoff look like it would be easier to run a kickoff back or harder to you? I would think easier, because it seems like the wave of people, like a kickoff is like...
There's no layer.
There's no layer to it. Like, to me, it looked like if you got through the first line, you're gone. Aren't you? Or am I tripping?
Yeah, it kind of felt like that. It felt like it was...
To me, I'm like, I looked at that and I'm like, phew. I just that felt house call-ish.
What did they do in the XFL if they got to do an onside?
I don't know. I was just going to ask. I assume they just like, you go, we're going to onside kick it. Like, you have to almost like declare it.
Oh. Okay.
I don't know. I mean, today was the first time I'd really seen the XFL kick.
You can do that.
You know?
That's fair.
But I was intrigued by that.
That would be like a big rule change that I think I'd actually be like, yeah, I'm fine with that.
I'm fine. Like, if that's... Rather than, you cannot eradicate kickoffs. I just don't even know what that, like, I just don't think you can do that.
Yeah.
Again, for a variety of reasons, most of all, I would almost say most of all, is because of the onside kick. Like, that has to be a part of football. It just does.
It is.
And so I'd be cool with if that's what we're changing kickoffs to and you have to declare, like, I am onside kicking it and now you line up with it.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
The Frank Solich moment. Loved it.
Very frank, very.
Oh, he's just one of those guys, and you played for him. I mean, he's just not. He's not going to get up there and give you the Al Pacino inches speech. Like, he's just not one of those guys.
It's not him. That's not him. That's what I almost love about him is, like, he doesn't want to be that guy. He doesn't try to be. Just he is himself, and that's why we love him.
Yeah, he went up there. He's like, thanks, Nebraska Cornhuskers. This is my family, and Coach Osborne's here, and
let's do
thanks, guys.
Maybe do one of those Go Big Reds. This is like, it's kind of great.
I will say, you know, you were always thinking of like, okay, how are they going to honor him? They did the fullback thing to start, which I liked.
I liked it,
and you could tell Frank liked it, and Rule, like, that was a cool moment to do a fullback dive out the gates. It is sad that fullback dives have become like, can you believe that? They did a fullback dive.
Remember the horse and carriage?
I mean, seriously.
And the fullback dive before that time.
Has fullback dives become that, like, we're going to do something out of the ordinary?
I feel like in
the
NFL you see them occasionally. Like, you know, if you got to, like, some teams will get into them where it's like, if it's third and short, they're giving a fullback dive. If they trust their fullback, they actually will use it a decent amount. But it's not, like, common on... second and eight.
Right.
Right. That's where it used to be. Like, you might throw in a fullback dive.
But it's amazing to just the fullback dives become a little
like a joke,
like,
almost,
how about that?
Like,
what if we ran a fullback dive
like
to start
the tongue
game?
In cheek, right? Yeah.
You're like, oh, God, really? So they named the locker room after him. I actually love it.
It's great.
And I don't want to force a take that isn't there, but like, it kind of fits Frank to me. Because the locker room is the essence and heartbeat of a football team and a football program. Like, your locker room is everything. And that's the stuff people don't see. And to me, Frank embodied that.
Yeah.
For Nebraska football for 20 years, we know about the T. Frazier's and Coach Osborne and all the frontline people. But it's the stuff behind the scenes that really make a football team and a football program. And Frank is one of those guys. And for some reason, I just think it like fits him. I think that
works right. And I don't know if he knew that beforehand, but if he didn't know it, I think he probably enjoyed it. If he did know it, I think that's probably a reason it's the locker room, is because that would be something he would sign off on.
Right.
Because he's that kind of guy where he doesn't want it to be some fancy schmancy, whatever.
Like the suite, our skybox with all of our top donors are going to be the Frank Solage skybox. It's like, that is not Frank.
No.
Okay.
That's something I think he'd feel good about.
Like the locker room, you know? So I thought it was, sometimes you try to find a way to honor someone, you don't quite know how. But that feels like a fitting thing for him, doesn't
Frank's
it?
He's so great, though. He's a great dad. I mean, I'm just so happy he could. You could tell he was emotional, and was like, I could tell when they brought him out there. There was a moment there he was like,
yes.
I could tell he was. It was like, ooh, he was really feeling. And I know that it was hard for him. Like, people don't understand. It's like he was the coach at Lincoln Southeast High School in the 70s. Tom Osborne recruited him from high school to come coach at Nebraska.
Then
he coached some of the greatest runs in the history of college football, takes over his alma mater, and gets fired in a really, like, in a tough situation. It crushed him in a lot of ways.
It had to have
crushed him. And so for him to be back, it's got to feel like he's got to be relieved in a way, too, that, like, he can kind of just, like, let the past go and enjoy being a part of Nebraska football going, because it's such a big part of him.
Right. And I think it's cool that I think Matt Rhule has done a really nice job of sometimes, and deservedly so, because he's one of the five greatest college football coaches of all time. Sometimes it's all about Tom Osborne, you know?
Yeah.
And there are guys like Frank that were integral in how everything, all that success. And it's nice for him, even for a guy that isn't looking for the credit and looking for the spotlight and looking for the pat on the back. It's got to feel good for him to have a moment that he put so much time and work and effort and had so much success in, for people to him to have that moment where people are showering him with praise.
Yeah,
it's got to feel good.
Because he's a guy that doesn't want it and he doesn't get it much because he doesn't demand it, but it's good for him to have it. But I was just thinking about this now that you're saying it. It would have been a little weird for him to come back, though, because he was coaching for Ohio.
Yes.
So you really don't do that until you're done.
Yes.
So maybe it was just the right time.
Right.
Like he needed to be done with Ohio so that now it's like he's got his Ohio thing. But now he can come back to Nebraska, not as the Ohio coach, but as like the coach that used to be the former Nebraska coach and the former Ohio coach.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
You're right. We sit there and go like, why doesn't Frank come back? Like they're really.
Like, don't bring it back Dana Altman when he's at Oregon. Wait until he's done with Oregon. And then bring him back.
And you want to name the court after him. You want to name something, you know, whatever. Like,
not why he's at Oregon.
Right. You know, be like, I got a week here. Why don't I? I'm going to run back to Creighton and get honored for my court. We'll come back. You know, like, that's just not how it works. Because
his mind's on Oregon.
Yes.
His mind's not. It's like you can't be – like, sports are weird like that.
Yes.
You're kind of all in or you're all out.
Right.
And I kind of understand it. Like,
I love it, too. I loved – did you see in the press conference the night before, he said there is no – he was like – he said the word curse and said, the curse is over. If there is a curse, I don't believe there is one, but if there is a curse, the curse is over.
Did that come from us, by the way?
I don't
remember the paper talking about the curse as much as you talked about the curse.
I don't know. All I care is that the curse is done.
That's what I wanted to say to you. He officially said it. The curse, if there is one, it's done.
Frank Solich
said the curse is done.
Then it's done.
It's a good thing. At least we got it on paper.
Right.
There's no more curse.
The other thing I loved, shout out to the toughest guy on the field today.
Eric Crouch.
Well, okay. He is, you and I are just madly in love with that guy. I mean, his hair, he's just flowing locks.
My wife needs to settle down.
But no, everybody out there, can we talk about Coach Solich's wife was in like a full hoodie. Yeah, she was cold. Did you see Coach Osborne? He was just in like a red blazer.
Well,
That's a guy that's hunted and fished in cold degree.
I'm a little cold, but I'm okay. You okay? I'm okay.
I'm good. You?
You want to hang out here a little longer? I'm doing fine. Are you okay? Oh, you have hypothermia? Are you a pussy? You have hypothermia? Ridiculous how soft you are.
But he just had a blazer on and looked fine.
Yeah.
I loved it. Was probably felt good for him. It had to felt good for him too to see Frank get, you know, that's his guy. Like,
because it's always him.
It's always Tom.
Tom getting the recognition. And you know, he doesn't like
no.
it. He wants to give it to other people. He's happy to see Frank.
Right.
You could tell he was happy for Frank.
Right. I just thought everything felt great today. Like seeing Trev, it's like Trev, Frank, Tio on the field. Like I was like, yes, this feels great. This feels amazing. I loved the fullback dive to start the game. It was all fantastic. I think we hit it all right. We're an hour into this thing. I mean, that's about, just shout out to Rule for doing that the way that game was just, even though it ended up being kind of a meh game, like I appreciated the fact that it was like an attempt at real football.
That's all I care about. We saw some real football. We learned some things. Didn't learn big things. So I think that's at least good. I know this team better. I don't know that I'm more optimistic than I was coming in, but I definitely am not like pessimistic. I think, okay, we got some things to work with, but
right. I would say, with it, like, would you say you feel more confident in the team? Like, no, but no. I also am not ready to sit here and say, this seems
good. I don't think they're bad either. I don't think this is like a bad
thing.
Football
to keep
team.
In mind, I don't think they had their starting quarterback, and I don't think they had their best defensive player and their starting two inside linebackers.
Yeah, they're three most. Like the guys that are the team guys, the cohesive leaders of the defense, were not there. Like the three most important interior pieces were not on the defense, and your starting quarterback. So, and your starting left tackle. Yeah.
So you take any spring game and say starting quarterback out, your two best linebackers, your two best defenders are out, your starting left tackle's out, your most experienced interior defensive lineman, he's out. Like, That there's going to be a domino effect in how everything looks. So, does that about do it?
Curse is broken.
Oh, it feels good.
We can move on now to fall camp and start fresh.
This feels so good. Okay, you want to go to Frank Solich locker room real quick?
I'd love to go.
Let's go. Let's head in there.
Cornhuskers.
A Herd at Sports Network production.